Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry, your host for another hour of Marketplace Saturday here on bpnradio.com. Be sure and tell your friends and about Marketplace Saturday and ask them to listen. We're going to, our times are from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. here on BPN Radio, where business people help business people. It's great to have my special guest today, my friend Bill Shannon from Orlando, Florida. Bill is the founder and president of SPI, founder and president of the Marriage Institute, and co-founder of Kingdom Water. Bill and his wife, Pam, have five children and two daughters-in-law. Welcome, Bill, to Marketplace Saturday.
Thank you, Rick. It's good to be on with you.
Well, it's great to have you on, Bill. I know you've been extremely successful in business. You've got a lot of insight, a lot of nuggets that will help people today. I'm very excited about you being with us. And so if you would, just talk to us, first of all, about your company, SPI, and how you got started in that business.
Oh, I can certainly do that, and you're too kind. I don't know what measures success or not, but I always tell people that I have two doctorate degrees from the School of Hard Knocks, and all of what I can learn from others. And I look at this next generation coming and going, wow, you can learn from others, and you don't have to go through some of this stuff. But, life is a process. It's a journey, and it's exciting when you're a Christian because your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, so you have a bright future as far as that goes. But SPI, when I started it in November of 1984, I was 23 years old, and didn't really, when I was observing corporate politics and corporate America at a young age, I recognized I do not fit well in that environment. I didn't have grandeurs of, big houses and boats and cars and things like that. It's just, I just wanted to work and do my job, and I'd always thought everybody was on the merit system, but as I saw in corporate America, it wasn't always the case. So I started off, I had an income tax return check of $5,000, and that is back in 1984. That was some really big money back then. And I had debt of $4,500, and I paid off the debt that we had, and we started the company with $500. I didn't have a couch, didn't have a bed. I had a box spring and mattress on the floor. I had a 9-inch black and white TV. I sure remember watching the Villanova Georgetown upset game on that little 9-inch TV, counting parts and in my bedroom. But I don't recommend people starting businesses that way with $500. It was a very difficult start, but we would get going, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I need a 2-line phone system. Oh my gosh, I need a fax machine. I need a copy machine. So all this stuff, continues to migrate on as God begins to mold and shape a very young man that knew very little at a very young age.
Right. Well, Bill, tell us what SPI stands for. What do you guys do?
Well, we had two companies. One was, when we started the company, we were a manufacturer's representative and a distributor. And the cool thing to do back in those days was to have your name as it. So we were Shannon Electronic Components. And we had another company called Precision Interconnect. So we had two sets of books operating with the same employees and all the things like that. So we just merged the two companies together and called it SPI. And what SPI does is we manufacture military, aerospace, oil and gas, industrial, electrical connectors, protective covers, wire harnesses, cable cord grips, things like that for the electrical industry for those markets.
Right. Well, Bill, besides, starting a business with $500 that you don't recommend for folks to do, what was the other biggest challenge when you got started, looking back?
Well, it's You know, you look at it, it could be 100 different things. But the greatest thing that faces businesses and people got to realize is sales. If you don't have sales, you don't need accountants, you don't need, you know, warehouse managers, you don't need customer service. And sales is the key. And you have to be able to be a seer to see what you can go for and look at it and then go after it. You got to see what you're able to do and be able to get and turn that into successful sales. And that is always the biggest challenge. It doesn't matter what we do in life. If there's nothing sold, there's no jobs for anybody.
Sure.
Well, that was my main focus has always been on the sales side. That's what I like. The relationships with our main suppliers, our main customers, and our people. You know, I really enjoy the relationship part of it.
What would be some tips that you could give business men or women if they were going to start a business? What would be maybe the top three, your top three, Bill?
Well, I would surround yourself with a minimum of three people that you can bounce ideas off of, talk to, look at that and see, you know, what they think. Get confirmation in your life. Make sure you have good accounting principles in place. So when we started, we didn't even have an accounting system. If we wanted to see how we were doing, we'd add up our accounts receivable and our accounts payable. And so hopefully the accounts receivable was more than the accounts payable. That meant you made money. And, you know, so having good, you know, like foundation with some accounting skills. And then the third thing, you know, don't get too excited to overspend. You know, let the money kind of just come in as it can, and you know, be conservative in that area. The least amount of debt, it's one of those four-letter words I always taught my kids never to use: debt, loan, bank. I know they have their purposes, but, you know, the borrower is the servant to the lender.
Right, of course. So looking back, what would be one thing that you might, with SPI, change? I know that you've grown a lot, you've learned a lot, you've got a lot of wisdom that you could share. What would be the one thing that maybe you could help some folks today with when you started your business that you might would do differently?
Well, to pinpoint, you know, one or two is very difficult. You know, I would say there's a lot of things, and then I would say there's nothing. Because of the process that has to take place, the maturity, the molding and the making, the shaping of to where you have to go, it's a journey, it's a process. You know, you can overspend in some areas, you can underspend in some other areas. I would have to say in 2003 to 2005, trying to grow too quickly, it almost did us in. We had seven different sales offices in the country. We had a lot of people doing a lot of business in the consumer electronics industry. And as that business dried up and began to move to other parts of the world that was cheaper to manufacture, it about did us in. So I would have to say, don't ever try to grow too quickly.
That's great counsel. Great advice. Bill, how many nations and countries are you doing business in?
We mostly sell here in North America. That's our business. But the Marriage Institute, one of our other businesses, it's here in Orlando, Florida, and but everything else, the Kingdom Water, we manufacture that in Guangzhou, China, the product, and then we have manufacturing plant in Shanghai, China, and in Bangalore, India, and then that's it. That's where we're located. So we're in Ohio, we're in China, and we're in India. That's where we're doing our business of creating and manufacturing, engineering and warehousing, things like that. And then our sales is mostly, you know, North America. We got more than 20 lifetimes worth of business sitting here in our own backyard.
Wow, that's awesome. Bill, could you share as well, maybe it's hard to narrow it down to one thing, but what would you, because with so many businesses failing, in America and around the world, what would be one of the things that you would say that made you successful?
Well, I'm pretty tenacious, and you know, and I whatever I do in my life, I'm 100% behind. I don't do anything halfway or three quarters way, and so I would have to say, you know, my tenacity, you know, is one of my strengths, but it also could be one of your weaknesses as well. But you know, you got to do that. You have to stay focused and be willing to try different things, you know, to try to make yourself successful. But you know, there's so many different things that can contribute to it, but you know, you have to have a resolve about you that you're not going to give up. And you know, that stuff weighs on your mind all the time. You wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and you're thinking about things and you're walking around with a journal. You know, we first started, you know, we just got fax machines. We were excited about that. You know, we were still listening to cassette tapes. We were listening to your dad's sermons on cassette tapes coming from Oklahoma and from New Mexico. And but we, you know, you have to continue to listen to the Lord. As a Christian, we can listen. We can hear our Father's voice, and we know when he can tell us to turn right or when we have to turn left or just stand still. But this is the most difficult thing that I've ever done in my life, is to do this. And we have made it. Now, we just celebrated in November our 33rd year of business. But I say that very humbly because, you know, we've had to change four or five different times into where we're at today. And we're pretty focused on where we're at, and you know, most likely we will finish where we're at right now. There's not going to be too many more changes, you know, coming that we see on the horizon. But again, we are Christians, and we never know what God's got up his sleeve next.
Of course. Well, it sounds like one of the key words there was change, and so being flexible and being spirit-led as well. Kind of on the lighter side, Bill, what makes your day exciting when you think about your days, you know, through the week? What's something that happens exciting in your day?
Well, I have to motivate myself a little bit because I do not work in our corporate center in Ohio any longer. God called me in 2013 to live in Orlando, Florida. So I sit in a little 13 by 14 room, and I stare out at the blue sky in front of me. So I have to motivate myself because I don't have my team with me. But you know, the things that motivate me is my vision and that I have, and I believe that I hear from the Lord, and I see the vision, and I try to keep 2 years ahead of where we're at today. That's the goal that I try to set for myself. But you know, I have so much in my heart. I have so much to do. And, you know, God does give you the desires of your heart, but he also creates it. And so much of what he's created really fires me up. And I have to balance it out. When I get into my office every day and I break my iPad out and begin my day in prayer, is, God, I just want to do today what you want. I can't be looking so far down the road, but it's just today that I need you. So that day-to-day walk is what motivates me.
Bill, that's awesome. It's awesome. I feel the anointing here. One of the things that I wanted to also ask you is, looking back at your life, who were a couple of people that really influenced you and helped mold and shape you for where you're at today?
Well, one life I got to celebrate 2 weeks ago. Pam and I, we went out to California, and we had a wedding we were planning on going to all year in San Diego, and we wanted to take 3 or 4 days extra. We've always wanted to drive down the coast of California and just, you know, drive down through Big Sur and Monterey and Carmel, and then, you know, down through Central Valley and then into LA, down to San Diego. So we went ahead and we did that and just had a wonderful time with our friends the Duffields, and saw their son get married. And then we flew back on a Monday. And that Tuesday, we went over to see a guy we manufacture water machines for. And he was distraught and all upset. And I said, David, what is the problem? What's going on? And he said, John died. And John was his brother. And John was the man that led me to the Lord June 21st, 1979. And we were kind of upset about it and went home. And that Wednesday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting up, and Pam said, Bill, what's wrong? I said, Pam, we got to go to that funeral. I just feel that we got to go to that funeral. And I told David that David, we're going to be going to the funeral, and we'd love to come, and they're just letting you know that we're coming. And David's his brother. He said, okay. Well, when the family found out that we were coming, they asked me to be the speaker for the funeral. And so I was totally honored about that, to go back where it all started, where I got saved. I got to show my wife where I was baptized. I got to see people I haven't seen in 35 years. And boy, people change.
Right.
I get there and preach the funeral of the man that led me to the Lord in 1979. Yeah, his name was John Baltus. And then he was a guy that really helped me get started, where I was at that point in life where I'm at the fork of the road. And one fork, you could see, it's very clear. There's a university waiting for you. There's a career. There's a life that you could see. And you see, and there's another side of the road that's a little foggy. It's got some hills. It's got some valleys. And it's unknown. And that road was called Christianity, where I don't see. So I took that road. Number two guy, not in necessarily any order, your dad, Dr. Gentry. You see, my dad, my earthly dad, he died in 1999. But God made sure that I still was going to have a father. And that's when, your dad and I, we struck up our relationship. And been able to influence me more than I can ever say. And then my own earthly father, of course, was a great influence. He didn't have parents growing up. They died at the very young ages, and he had to live on his own when he was 15. And, he taught me work ethic. He taught me drive. He taught me, a lot of great things, even though many times he didn't know what a dad would be because he didn't have one. And so it was those three guys. Looking back, those are the three that would have the most influence on me.
Bill, I appreciate you sharing your heart. That really, I'm sure, ministered to a lot of people. And it's great to listen to your journey. It's very motivational, the road that you've taken. And, a lot of times we do come up to two paths, and which way do we go? And we have to be Spirit-led and walk that way. I wanted to shift gears really quickly, Bill, because I know that you're excited about your new business, Kingdom Water, and you might just tell us a little bit about that. If you'd like to share your website, your phone number, anything pertaining to that business.
Definitely can. The website's not up yet. It's being done. It's Pam's baby, and she's the one that drives it. But it's kingdomwater.com, and we're health and fitness nuts. We go to the gym together every day. She's my workout partner, and we try to to take care of, be a steward of our body and of our temple. And the body's made up of 70% water, and so what we're ingesting into our body, liquids, is very, very important. And so we have a machine that takes the regular tap water, and it runs it through a filter, and it takes the lead out of it, the chlorine, the arsenic, all the stuff that's found in regular city water, and then it takes it through to these plates, these titanium plates that ionize it, that literally split the acidic water and alkaline water. And the alkaline water, different pH levels is what we drink, because an alkalized body, cancer cannot live in it, only an acidic body. And then the acidic water has great properties for washing your face and, you know, cleaning, you know, your countertops and different types of things, sores and bruises, and helps with that healing process. So that's kind of a new venture that we've just started, and we have a company that we're privately labeling it for. And again, it's mostly, you know, Pam's big thing that she's doing. I'm pretty tied up with the other stuff that I do in my life, but I give her some encouragement and give her some help from time to time. But she's a joy to watch her grow and become more of an entrepreneur, and see that work for her and her job.
Well, that's great, Bill. Well, yes, water is extremely important. Well, we just pray that business takes off and does great. We'll probably have another interview when that is up and going and get a progress report on that.
Certainly.
Bill, I want to say thank you for just an outstanding interview today. Before you go, if you don't mind, just praying for business men and women today and praying a blessing over them. I think that would be great.
I will gladly do it. Just for 30 seconds, I will say this. I just finished my annual business meeting with my two vice presidents, and tough meetings, because you get to hear things that you don't necessarily want to hear, but you have to hear them, and that's how we make changes. And I heard Holy Spirit Friday night begin to tell me to start to begin to rejoice and be thankful for all the journey, everything on the journey that anyone out there has gone on. Give thanks for that journey. I just had a knee replacement, and I wasn't feeling good on Tuesday, and I laid down to take a nap about 11:30, and at 1 o'clock, I woke up with a jolt, and I heard a voice, and it wasn't my wife, and it said, "You can have what you can see." I heard that so clear. So I encourage every businessman today, Lord, that they can have what they can see.
Yes.
You got, I'm praying for seers today, seers all over this world. Father, that they begin to see 2020 godly vision for needs, for better mousetraps, for new inventions, for things that will inspire the kingdom, that things that will grow the kingdom, that the wealth of the wicked would transfer to the righteous for the furtherance of the gospel. Father, we just thank you for all you're doing, God, and what we can see. And God, Lord, we trust you. Lord, we say we trust you. We need to guide us day by day. Let us not to get too far ahead or too far behind of you, Holy Spirit, but grab us by the hand. Take us to where we need to go. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bill Shannon. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. And I really appreciate everyone listening today. This is Rick Gentry, your host on Marketplace Saturday. Stay tuned to BPN Radio for more interviews, information, and insights concerning your business and the opportunities that await you in the marketplace. Please contact me if you would like to host or sponsor a show on Saturday here on Marketplace Saturday. You can call me at 214-918-8707 or send me an email at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
This is Allison Kieber with your success tip. Today's success tip comes from Dale Carnegie. A person's name is the sweetest sound. Today's tip: remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Dale Carnegie was a smart man. He lived his life in terms of other people. He laughed, he cried, and he cared about them. One way Mr. Carnegie often showed his respect was by using people's names instead of the over-often used, "Hey." Using a person's name is crucial, especially when meeting those who don't see very often. Respect and acceptance stem from simple acts such as remembering a person's name and using it whenever appropriate. That's why Dale Carnegie came up with an easy strategy for remembering names, the LIRA formula. L, look and listen. Try as hard as you can to focus on a person speaking and make sure you understand very clearly what their name is. I, impression. Create an impression in your head of what that person looks like. This includes physical features or the surroundings and situation in the moment. R, repetition. Repeat the person's name as many times as possible in the conversation. Use it when it's appropriate. Use it when you are saying goodbye to that person. Afterwards, repeat it in your head as much as possible. And A, association. Make associations of physical characteristics, names, or landmarks. Objects, buildings, companies. Use color nouns and similar words to help you remember the name, as humans remember things better in pictures. After using this, remembering names becomes much easier. Use names with everyone you interact with. Practice this and make it a habit. This is Allison Kieber for Marketplace Saturday and your success tip. You've been listening to Marketplace Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us. Have you enjoyed what you've heard? Maybe you feel like you need to be a part of it. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a message at Rick Gentry, bpnradio@gmail.com. This is Marketplace Saturday, where people go to grow.
Thanks for listening to BPN Radio and Marketplace Saturdays hosted by Rick Gentry. If you'd like to learn more about our programming or how you could be involved with Marketplace Saturdays, perhaps with a show of your own, reach out to Rick Gentry. Email him at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. That's rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. This is Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders and professionals go to grow. Hi, this is Ian Kieber reminding you to join us for Marketplace Saturdays. Marketplace Saturdays is full of information, motivation, inspiration, and business tips that will help you grow in whatever field you come from. Now, whether you're a small business owner or an employee looking to grow and learn more, Marketplace Saturday is for you. Join Rick Gentry, the host of Marketplace Saturdays, from 8 a.m. to midnight Central Standard Time, where you can learn from the best. Marketplace Saturdays, where leaders go to grow.
This is Allison Kieber with Marketplace Saturday and your success tip. Today's success tip comes from Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Group. And as many of us know, he's a very successful businessman and an icon in entrepreneurship. Here's Sir Richard Branson's top 10 tips for success. Number one, follow your dreams and just do it. Number two, make a positive difference and do something good. Number three, believe in your ideas and be the best. Number four, have fun and make sure to look after your team. Number five, don't give up. Number six, make lots of lists and keep setting yourself up for new challenges. Number seven, spend time with your family and learn to delegate. Number eight, try turning off the TV and get out there and do some things. Number nine, when people say bad things about you, just prove them wrong. And number 10, do what you love and have a sofa in the kitchen. This is Allison Kieber for Marketplace Saturday and your success tip.